Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Powerful You with your hosts Dave and Linda McDowell.
Good morning. This is Dave and Linda McDowell. We are frankly doing an experiment here. Linda and I were talking this morning about the current racial injustice we're seeing in our country regarding the police and the black community. And as we discussed it, we realized that we have to practice what we preach. But it's a big thing for me, and I think Linda too, but especially for me right now, that I am trying to share with as many people who are willing to listen to me that we've got to come at these things and try to recognize our prejudices and really hear the other side without an agenda. And we realized we had our own agendas. And so we're practicing and trying to preach what we're saying here. So one of the things we feel like needs to be established are some rules. So I'm going to let Linda talk about that.
Well, I just feel like in order for us to have the conversation between the races, that there you have to come to the conversation basically with rules of engagement, I guess you would say. And one of those rules is that you don't try to fit the conversation to your liking. Like, you should say this, or you should feel this way, or maybe if you said it this way, though, that's discounting the other person. So, you know, you can't tell another person how to feel or what to speak. So you have to accept the person for what they're saying and honor that. You don't have to agree with what they're saying. You just have to honor what they're saying and what they're feeling. The other thing is that don't come into the conversation with an agenda. Because a lot of times on both sides, we come into the conversation with an agenda. You got to prove your right, both sides. And in this situation, the truth is right. Not what you think, not what you've been taught, not what other people tell you, not what you hear on the radio or the news. The facts are the truth, and that is what is right. So accounting for every person's feelings, that is important, and to come into the conversation with respect, because, you know, we have to begin the conversation and we have to listen to each other before we can even solve the problem. So maybe the beginning of a lot of conversations should be, I honor you, I respect you, I hear what you're saying. I'm not trying to fix it so that it's more palatable for me, but I hear what you're saying. I respect you as a person. I may not agree, but I hear you. So that being said, for us right now, and there probably could be a lot more rules, but for Dave and I, you know, that is what we're going to start the conversation with.
And the reason we're establishing the rules is because we've already broken them. I have. You know, one of the things that frustrates Linda, and I'm really working on it, is I'll come back with her and say, well, you know, if you said it this way, or if you did it this, because I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to coach her how to communicate with my side of the fence. But the truth is she just needs to say what she feels and thinks, and the other side has to deal with it. And so I'm working on that. But we realize if we're having issues, then I'm sure everybody is, because we're husband and wife. We love each other. We do respect each other. And we're still struggling.
Yeah.
And we struggled and got a little irritated with each other this morning. And then we decided, you know what? Let's practice what we preach.
Let's practice.
And so we just thought we would publicly record this. Right now it's just a test recording, to be honest about it. But we'll, if it goes how I hope it goes, we will edit it, and we may put it out there and ask people to comment on it, seek friends' advice, et cetera, et cetera. One other thing that, and I didn't prep Linda for this, but I hope she's okay, is I think you have to understand the difference between racism and prejudice. I do believe they're different. my definition of racism is I've made up my mind that this group of people has these attributes and you're not going to change it. That's racism. Prejudice is I grew up in a community, family, friends, school, et cetera, where I learned prejudices without even really knowing it. And we have to acknowledge that and be willing to be educated and throw away some of our prejudices, okay? There is a difference.
Well, and even with that statement, it is, you know, what is the dictionary?
Yeah. Agreed. I mean, that may not fit the dictionary.
But. Yeah, but I feel like that was a really good statement, though. But I guess when you're in these conversations, you gotta go to the source of truth to really, because it's our beliefs that kind of, or what we've been taught that get in the way versus what is actual fact. But
right.
I do agree with you that, yeah, that is so.
You got to be willing to change.
You got to be willing to change.
It's presented the proper evidence.
Right.
And one of the issues we know is out there is that both sides are presenting evidence that's skewed. I'm just saying it out front and loud, that to bolster their argument.
Well, and I do
both sides.
But I do feel like when you see the actual fact,
well,
you have to take that for what it is, hurtful or not.
Here's just one example. We already talked about this. The numbers. You know, how many black people, how many white people, and I'm just going to be honest. My quote, my side, which I'm trying not to take a side, says, well, yeah, but you know. If black people are committing the crimes, then of course the numbers are going to go up. But here's my argument to that. And I'm convinced now, after listening to Linda and paying attention, that this is the truth. But you don't see it presented this way. Take 100 cases. I'm just saying 100. Let's make 1,000 would be better. Of situations similar on both sides. Let's just call them a traffic infraction, you know, speeding. And you take, let's say, 1,000. Where the person pulled over, and we won't care about whether it's a black cop or a white cop, but they've been pulled over by the police, and see how many turn out badly. Take the same number of white and see how many turn out badly. I'm convinced you're going to see a higher percentage on the black side. That's my evidence that we have, this is a real problem. It's not imagined. That part, I'm good. You understand what?
Yeah, I get it. And to me, being a black person that has been pulled over, sometimes, you know, in a situation where there were other people driving too.
You've seen it.
I've experienced it. So it does happen. And, you know, not a lot of times black men, not only black men, black people are profiled at certain things. That's a reality. That's a fact to me, is, you know.
Right. And then, you know, and again, I'm trying to be very honest because I've heard this argument and I've bought into it for a long time. I'm not buying into it anymore. And that is, well, yeah, but, you know, black people tend to be more disrespectful to the police.
And I, you know, brought that to Dave's attention that's not necessarily so in the last 10 years because a lot of people have died. You know, and so people are trying to be a lot more respectful, probably more so than white people when arrested, because it could turn out badly for us. Now, I'm not, you know, I'm just saying in the last 10 years with all the publicity, parents are teaching their children that when you're stopped, keep, you know, be respectful, da, 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 da. So that statistic is no longer true.
And I think I'm just going to accept that. I don't have statistics on that.
And
I
read that, and I don't have them now, but I can just go by, I know what people, I will even take it past the last 10 and say in the last 5 years, we have heard about this, the increase of awareness, so people are educating people on how, what to do, which I think is wise, when you are arrested. To the fact that a lot of mothers, aunts, myself included, I told my nieces, nephews, or whatever, when you are rested, the goal is to make it home alive. So that you don't have to say that, a white person does not have to say that to their son, that's a reality for us. So, you know, I teach and I've told people that. Don't argue with them. Be respectful. Your goal is to make it home alive.
Oh, I hear you. Actually, let's start with this, and maybe this is without, and that is just basically, what are you feeling and thinking in this issue? What's your emotion? What's your mind? You know, does that make sense?
And if what I'm saying may not really be real popular. I'm not feeling as much, but when the whole thing started with George Floyd, I was feeling, we just keep going. I was feeling very frustrated, angry, just like, why does this keep going on? I'm 61 years old, and I have had to go back through this. I can remember years, every decade, that we come back to this. And I was just hoping, from being a 20-year-old looking up, you know, I would have hoped that I wouldn't have had to see this in 2020, you know, that we would be a more advanced civilization, and we're not. That's disappointing.
Now, let me give you, quote, the other side, because I hear that, and I think, wait a minute. Are you telling, you know, because what it feels like sometimes is, well, so you're saying we didn't make any progress? Yeah, I'm coming back to you.
Yes, that is exactly what I'm saying. And you may not like to hear that, but when you're on the other side of the fence, and when I was 20, we were having problems with this. When I was 30, it was happening. When I was 40, it was still happening. 50, still happening. And now I'm 60.
I'm trying to hear that and understand it. And one of the things that has helped me, and Linda has done this, well, how would you feel if it was your uncle, your nephew, your brother, your father, your family member that has suffered this prejudice? Not necessarily racism. Sometimes it's racist.
A lot of times it's racist.
Yeah, and I hear you. Sometimes it's just prejudice, ignorance, assumptions, et cetera, those need to be addressed and dealt with. I have to deal with them internally. And when she said that, I thought, you know, sure, I would be, yeah. Because it really doesn't matter that you made 90% improvement if 10% is killing people. You know, it doesn't really matter.
And I would give it if it was 90% improvement, but it's not 90%.
You're not giving me that.
No, it's not 90% improvement. Yeah, there is some improvement. I have some opportunities that maybe my grandmother had, but in that I have to go out and face that, you know, if I'm arrested, I could die.
So let's just, at the moment, let's keep this discussion just related to the police and black community situation. We won't go into other areas right now, maybe another day. So what do you want? What would you like to see happen?
People be treated like a human being.
Okay.
People be respected as a man, a black man, a black woman, that you respect me as a human being and a person, that you treat me as such, that you follow the law when you arrest me.
Okay.
And you honor my rights. Those are basic human principles.
How would you suggest we improve that?
I feel like police also, their background should be checked. If you are a part of a racist organization, you should not be a policeman.
Okay. I think that's legit.
If policemen should also receive cultural sensitivity training. As a group of an organization, as police, they need to learn how to relate to not only the black community, but people of color, period. On our part, we need to continue teaching our young people to be respectful when they are arrested. That being respectful, though, if you are being wrongly arrested, does not mean that you cannot speak up for your rights. And if you speak up for your rights, you should be honored for that. We have the right to say this is wrong. So you shouldn't be killed because you said that. You should still be able to speak up for your rights when you do so in an intelligent discourse.
Amen. But I would also add, and I think you would too, see if you agree, is accountability. When we find an infraction, whoever committed the infraction needs to suffer a consequence. And it needs to be legitimate and strong enough that people learn from it.
And I believe that on the police as well as, you know, if someone is arrested. If you did wrong, I believe you should be arrested. But if you're a police, you're paid as a civil servant. We pay you as a civil servant to protect and abide by the law. So if you're not doing that, that's a real problem.
I totally agree. I would add to that, however, that there needs to be thorough investigations, thorough, you know, hopefully unbiased. And it, so I don't want a police person unjustly treated any more than I want a black person unjustly.
And I get that. But you know what? But you're being videotaped,
yeah,
when you're wrong, that's a thorough investigation.
I agree.
So that's another thing I would add. When you see a police interacting with something and it's not turning it right, videotape it.
Right. Yeah. We're actually, I'm not happy that it happened, of course. But the George, what's his name? I'm sorry. The situation in Minnesota.
Right.
Man, the evidence is overwhelming because it doesn't matter how disrespectful he was. It doesn't matter what crime he may have been trying to commit. He should have never, ever been put in that position for more than 4 minutes. And I've done a little research on this.
He wasn't disrespectful. He was arrested and he was abiding. He wasn't fighting anything.
But there is no excuse in this one. It is so clear to me that I'm at least glad that we have such a clear case, because what I'm seeing on Facebook and various places, though I don't spend tons of time on them, is a lot of white people going, yep, put them in jail. Yep, exercise accountability here. This is clear cut. But we also need to, you know, like I said, fair is fair. That's all I'm saying is, you know, and I would say don't just assume the police is guilty and don't just assume the black person is guilty. Do a thorough investigation.
Well, and I feel like with those things that are videotaped, that pretty much speaks for itself.
I want body cams on every officer, and I want them penalized if it's not on.
Yeah, and I agree that, I agree with you totally, but a body cam can be turned
on. But they're not out there yet.
Yes, and they can be turned on and turned off. So
well, that's what I'm saying.
I think that
if you got them, they're on.
Yes, and I do believe that citizens, I think that's, whether we like it or not, the reason that these conversations are being held and everything went on is that people are starting to videotape, and though people are still dying.
Oh, they're being caught.
Yes, that is what's making people accountable, is that they're being caught. So I think that it's imperative that, I'm going to say, as white people, when you feel like this is turning out or this may turn out badly, start videotaping, because it at least allows, that takes all the guesswork. There it is,
it
on tape.
It certainly closes that window significantly. And what I would say to you is, and if the police officer has a body cam and he didn't have it on, that's one point against him for sure. That goes against his case. And I think he should be fined or penalized or something as a police officer for not having it on. He shouldn't get to pick and choose.
Yeah. So I guess that the conversation is, and I think this conversation is really, you know, opening up the doors that you just have to be open to not come into it with an agenda and just what's the facts. The facts are that there are videotapes sometimes showing these kind of things. So you can't really argue with that.
I'm going to give you, again, I'm trying to represent the other side, though I'm not necessarily agreeing with it. I'm bringing that point. And that point would be, well, yeah, but, you know, the percentages are so low, but what's happening today is all the bad cases get all the publicity. And that's really not as big as, you, as you're saying it.
And that's that kind of white privilege thing, because it has, it's not happening to your family, it's not happening to you. So it's easy to cop out and say, well, the percentages are low. No, they're being videotaped and they're showing that the percentages are higher than we think. So, and if somebody is dying, that percentage is too high for me anyway.
Well, here's my argument to myself. Does it really matter what the percentages are? If one black person is being illegitimately treated, then it needs to be addressed. And so it really, that argument just doesn't hold any water. And I realize it now. And I'm learning.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make changes and listen. And the real change I'm trying to make is to both try and see, we white people have to understand this. We can't fully empathize. We can try, because we haven't been there. And you know, we haven't. I haven't experienced what you have experienced, you personally, Linda.
No, you can't. And I don't think maybe you could get it 100%, but I feel like you could get it 50 or 60% if you put yourself in those shoes.
Yes.
You, and that's enough to have that empathy,
right,
to understand that a lot of times you don't, it, for people sometimes, it's so hurtful, it's so in your face,
mm-hmm,
that you want to, you know, you want to desensitize yourself to it by saying things like that.
Oh, I think,
because
that's true.
It's very hurtful to see that this is our America right now. And so if you've been taught to really love your country and be patriotic, it's very hurtful to see your country. And in a worldview, our country is looking bad, you know?
Well, that's very good. It is very true. And I have done that. Almost, I don't think I did it consciously, but I think subconsciously I just go, well, I just don't believe that about the police, because I didn't want to. I just don't believe that about our side, because I didn't want to. And then I look at it, and what I have to understand, and we all do, on both sides, is that perception to the perceiver, is reality. It doesn't really matter that I feel different. What matters is that I understand how you feel.
Or that you begin that process. I'm not expecting you to 100% feel what I feel, but
I
you put yourself in the place that if this were me, ask yourself, if this was my son,
right,
if I was seeing this all the time and these were my relatives or the people of my color, how would I react? Just do that is enough of a beginning step to see.
Amen.
And then when you know, sometimes we're in our group, we're in our environment, and your friends say really crude things about another race, even me, when it's beyond my race, or say things that, and we don't correct or we don't say anything in silence, we accept that, it breeds in small things, because you're making it okay for them to then make generalizations that they think are facts. So even something simple as, I don't believe that way. You don't have to do an argument. You don't have to do a discourse, but just let them know, that's not my belief. If it's not, you know?
Not try to change their belief. Just understand it.
I mean, if you're wrong and you have a racist belief, I'm not trying to understand that. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to correct you on that. Like, this is how I feel. I don't agree with you on that. This is how I feel about that. I feel like we all have to take a stand on a racist and say, this is not acceptable. You can't. We all know that it's wrong. In the racist heart, he knows that it's wrong. He just doesn't want to feel another way.
Okay, you
want
to hear the other side? Oh, great. So you're just going to play the racist card whenever anything doesn't go the way you want it.
That's what, you know, it's not, when you're a racist.
I didn't say I believe that.
Well, let's not talk about what they say. What does Dave say? When you hear a racist comment from one of your friends, do you just let that slide?
No, ma'am, I don't. But also try to pay attention to really what is being said and why it's being said. Because sometimes that person is just ignorant.
So to me, we grieve that ignorance when we don't draw attention to that by saying, you don't have to argue with them, but say, I don't agree with that.
Sure.
But that takes a small amount of courage that sometimes people are not willing to stand into.
I do that. I have done it many times in my past. I've been immediately, there is situations, I'm not going to go into, I can give you an example, where I was assumed, because I was white and from the South, that I would listen to this guy talk his racist, and I'm not listening to that.
And I think that's just standing in your own courage. When you agree with him, I'm not telling you to do anything. That's your ignorance, and you let that ignorance breed. But when you know somebody is making racist comments and you don't agree with them, you don't have to argue. You say, I'm sorry, I don't believe. But that puts light on them. And they know in their heart that this is wrong or this is right, and a lot of times they will back down.
Oh, yeah.
If it was right, they wouldn't back down.
I totally agree. And this person backed down because they realized they had made a major mistake and they were saying the wrong thing to the wrong person.
But like I said, it takes, even on all people's part, no matter what your color, it takes that small bit of courage to say, I'm not going to agree with you.
How would you suggest you deal with a person who maybe isn't really a racist but has significant prejudices, but you're listening to them and you're going, you didn't mean that the way it sounded. How do you deal with that person?
Well, to me, and I call a thing a thing.
Okay.
If you're making up, you can't say what a person means. They mean what they say when they say it. But you really, what you're trying to do is correct them because they don't agree with what you're thinking. And so when they say what they mean and their significant prejudices, that's what they mean. You know what I'm saying? You're rationalizing for them when you say,
okay,
well, they really didn't mean it that way, but however they said it, that's exactly how they meant it.
Okay, I'm going to try to take that and apply
and
it.
And so that is when you don't have to have a discourse with them. You can just say, I don't agree with that.
Okay.
And if they want to continue the conversation, fine. If they don't. But really for us to say, well, they say prejudice things, but they really don't mean it. People say what they mean.
So, okay, and I'm just bringing up the hard spots because I want people to hear that we're struggling, frankly, and that we're trying to work and grow through this, both of us. So what if I say to you, well, wait a minute, all lives matter. Why do we have a Black Lives Matter? All lives matter.
All lives do matter, but Black lives are getting killed right now.
Bingo. Thank you.
That would be my discourse.
And that's what I had to realize and go, hey, again, if I was a Black person, I'd be all for Black Lives Matter. But I also believe that 99% of those people also understand it's everybody. Don't just assume somebody's in that group or following it or supporting it that they're racist. And see, that's the other thing. The white side, if you're part of that group, you must be racist.
I support that group.
Toward me.
I'm not racist. I am for...
Right. It's not true.
I'm a Black woman living in America with a Black stepson, with a Black with Black nieces, nephews, brothers. So all lives do matter. I totally agree with that. But for right now, my problem is in my community, and I have to take care of my community. So Black lives do matter when they're being killed. Yes, that would be my argument.
And my point, because it was a point I had to reach, because I did it for a little while. I'm like, wait a minute. Why is it just Black lives? Well, because that's your community. And if it was white people getting killed, well, how would I feel? I'd be White Lives Matter.
Yes. Well,
and realize that that doesn't mean just because you're part of that group, you're a racist. White people need to get past that and understand that the ultimate goal of that group, I do believe this, I don't always agree with their methods, but I do believe this, is equality and justice.
It is, well, you know, I guess it is, and it gets sensitive for me for that, because to me that's a little bit of privilege, because basically you want us to be quiet and go somewhere. That's really what it is, and it makes you uncomfortable when it's in your face. But when people are dying, it has to be in people's faces.
And I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that to me earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I needed to hear that. I really did need to hear that, because it's true, and I've done it too. It's like, oh, good grief, they're back again. Can we just all get along?
Well, and I would love to get along, and I would love.
Somebody wouldn't be shy.
Yeah, I would love for us not to have this conversation again. But every time I turn around, another black man has died. So yes, I'm going to be in your face now because I need this to stop.
And we don't like it.
No.
And we don't want it. And I've had to accept that. Study it and realize that I'm guilty. And that's what a lot of people need to do, is really try to be a little more objective. That's it. And understanding and empathetic. And it's hard work.
It is. And I'm not saying you don't have to agree with me, because it's not your son may be getting killed. So you may not agree with me, and that's fine. But don't take my right to protest away. That is a right. Respect that I'm a protester or that I do whatever, because that is an American right. That's all I'm saying. You don't have to agree with me, but respect that I am going to use my right to bring light on a situation that is unjust.
So how do you respond to, quote, my side, saying, well, yeah, but you're out there rioting and looting and vandalizing.
And that's my side kind of thing. Let's not go there. Let's just ask the questions. I'm just saying, but to somebody that's saying they're looting, and I'm going to say what we said earlier, is that I'm also seeing white people looting in the crowd too. So, you know, I think that's the ignorance of the person, no matter what color they are. You know, so we have to address that. No, I don't agree with looting and destroying other people's property or anything like that. I just believe that people have the right to protest, and they have the right to protest peacefully. And from what I can tell, it's more peaceful protest than it is the looting and rioting. Again, you know, that's what's promoted. That's what you see. But there are protests going over all over the world about this incident, and most of those that I have seen are peaceful. Yes, there has been a lot of some rooting and all of that, but I understand their frustration. I'm not saying that it's right or that it's wrong. I'm just trying to keep the conversation personal, honey, so it's between me and you.
Sure. See what I mean, folks? She stepped on my toes a minute ago, and I got to get over it. So let's make this clear, because I think you represent that, frankly, the average. You're above average, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I probably
maybe. And I think I somewhat represent the other side.
You do. And I do too.
Well, I do and I don't. But
I guess I do and I don't too.
Exactly. In that we don't do mob think. Linda and I do not do mob think. We think for ourselves. We try to do our homework. I don't have... You know, neither one of us has 8 hours a day to do this, but we try to pay attention. We try to get both sides, et cetera, et cetera. But I guess what I'm trying, or I want to get your side on, or your view, is so I think the media, they don't report the peaceful. They don't, you know.
I have seen some peaceful protests on the media.
Good.
I mean, all over the world. And that's my point, is that, you know, America's slip is showing, because all over the world
people are protesting
this. And I'm going to be honest, and this wouldn't probably be popular, is that I personally I agree with the protesters in that we got to bring light to the situation. But personally, I would like us to do it more in an economic than out in the streets. That's just my personal opinion. I feel like if everybody decided to not spend money with for a whole day or a week, don't go to work, don't spend money, just total pull your money out, that would be a lot more effective.
A civil protest.
Yes.
Martin Luther King style, folks.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And whether you don't have to agree with that either, but
no,
I tend to agree with Linda in that I hate to admit it because it's an indictment of our society. You hit people in their wallet and they listen.
Yeah. Not that I disagree with the protest. It's just that I think that...
You think there's a more effective...
I think that would be a lot more effective to do an economic protest where everybody participate in that. That you don't shop for a day. You don't go to work for a day.
Including
just,
white people
including
who believe
what, right.
in this cause.
Yes. And
for
everybody...
example, I would join that boycott.
Yeah.
If you said, I'm not going to Walmart
I'm not,
for a day.
Yeah.
And I'm just... I'm not saying Walmart's guilty. I'm just throwing out an example. It could be JCPenney's, you know, whatever, Macy's.
Right.
Amazon, I don't know.
Well, and that, you know, if everybody just stopped for a day.
Just one day.
Just one day.
They'd feel it.
I wouldn't go to work that day. I wouldn't buy any items that day. I wouldn't, and one of my big things is Amazon. I would not buy anything from Amazon that day or whatever.
Also, help me, and you've already done this, so I'm actually, I'm leading you this way. Help me understand why you think the rioting and the vandalism is happening.
Well, and this is just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to recognize that there are generational differences.
Exactly.
Here.
I think
because
I
probably, I'm from an older generation, being that I'm 61 years old. I'm going to say now, this is not a statistic that I've read or anything, but I, as I look at the protesters that are out there, to me, they look like they're in their 20s and 30s. On average, they're much younger than I am in general. And so our views and our life experiences are different. So I'm not sure if I'm the right person to speak for everybody.
And they're young.
And they're young. And so I feel like what they feel like, well, and I've had that said to me by a nephew, that I feel like I have nothing to lose. What? You're going to kill me? You're killing me anyway.
Wow. That's such an indictment. And we need to understand that. It doesn't excuse it,
mm-mm.
at least not in my book.
It doesn't excuse
it. But I begin to understand.
It doesn't excuse rioting. It does make protesting is a civil right. So I like to distinguish between the right to assemble, the right to protest. That is a civil right. There is nothing wrong with doing that peacefully.
Mm-hmm.
The rioting and the destruction of property is another area. But he and I were having an exchange on the right to protest. And then he said, if my life is gone, I feel like it's my civil duty to protest because you are killing me anyway.
Wow.
And
we need to understand that. I need to understand that. And I'm trying. And I think I'm getting there, at least a little bit. But you know, those thought coins, here's the other one. There's so many of them just using this as an excuse to steal a TV.
Well, you're talking about rioting.
Yes, I am. Vandalism. Right?
Vandalism. But and that's the thing that you have to distinguish.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to make it, not you, but those people that make that statement want to generalize and say that they're all rioting.
Right.
That is not a correct statement. Let's deal with the facts. Because there are a lot more, from what I'm seeing, peaceful protests than the rioters. So you can't make that's the prejudice statement, and we're just educating ourselves that everybody isn't rioting in these protests.
And
you can't generalize that way.
And I think if you went to the average, let's say a black person, you would find that they don't approve of it either. It's a small minority of that group and
of both groups. significant. Let's say that too.
Yeah, also.
Because it's black and white that a riot is.
Yeah, you know, hey, you see white people doing that, and I frankly tend to think they're even maybe more guilty of just being mercenary and just going, hey, I got an opportunity to go steal something.
Well, and that's in both races, but I always want to make it clear that there are black and white rioting.
Oh, yeah. I look out there, there's white people doing this vandalism too.
Yes.
Same thing when it was in Ferguson, whatever
yeah.
that was.
And I don't know the majority, and it could be the more majority, but from what I saw on a clip, I'm going on a clip that I saw, there were black and white. And
yep.
so if we're going to be fair instead of generalizing, let's
yep.
own that there are black and white. So what is that? They're a segment of the population that feel frustrated, and some of them are just taking advantage. They
right.
don't feel one way or the other. They see a way, and that's black and white. So,
right.
I mean, let's own what's the truth.
Yeah, thank you. And see, that's where I'm breaking down my own, quote, arguments and examining them and trying to hear you. And that's what we need to do as a society, is to say, you know, the other side is not my enemy. They're my fellow citizens with good motives. They're not trying to take over the world. See, that's the other thing is you also hear, well, they just want to run everything and be in charge.
I've not heard that, but
I have.
Okay. And I have to own that you've
and
heard that.
And believe me, I've addressed it.
Because that is that sense, which I feel like on both everybody, really to me, that says you're scared you're losing your privilege.
Bingo.
So,
and
we have to face that. Because in all reality, and I don't have the total number, but there are more people of color just by numbers in the world, or in the United States, I won't even go in the world, in the United States. So just by sheer numbers, at some point, as people grow and populate,
right. Oh yeah,
there will be less.
Demographics is changing every day.
Yes.
And those of us in the, quote, white community have to accept it, because we can change it if we wanted to.
Just by sheer numbers.
You know, you
and
said,
I'm not just even talking about black people. I'm just talking about people of color, period, you know.
Right.
Hispanic,
yes, right,
all of that. Yeah.
All those populations are growing at a faster rate than the white population. Read the writing on the wall, folks. So what are you going to do about it? You're going to fight it, or you're going to cooperate and see if you can't make it all better? I want to take the second tact. I'm trying. You know, I've had to face it, and I'm going to share this real quick. When Linda and I were dating, I mean, before we ever got married, Linda tends toward the
liberal.
Liberal.
I'm
conservative, but we neither one of us claims a party anymore.
I'm disappointed with both.
But one of the things she said to me, as I ran it and raved, is, Dave, the current environment works for you. Of course you don't want it to change. And I go, ow. Because that's selfish. That's not fair. That's not. You know, I had to face that and realize, you know, she's absolutely right. I don't want change because it works for me. I'm happy. I'm fat, dumb, and happy. I'm not the one experiencing the bad side. I am the white person. And I'm not going to talk about privilege. Maybe we'll talk about privilege another day, okay? Because I have mixed feelings on that one, as I think you did.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll just stand with the, quote, relationship between the police and the black community and the fallout thereof. Where else do you want to go?
I don't know. I feel like we've covered enough ground to the purpose of this was for us to really, as an interracial couple, to face each other's prejudices and to talk about that openly with you. We're sharing parts of ourselves that I'm a little bit.
I'm not exactly proud.
I'm not always. I am proud of my stance. I'm proud that I'm working on it. I'm not proud of any prejudices
right.
that I may have. And prejudice in that I cannot deal with a racist, you know. And that's really not a prejudice. I think that's a human right.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't. I will call that out, you know, if you direct it toward me. So, you know, but I feel like the conversation has to begin somewhere. And so we're sharing our thoughts and feelings. We're not saying that we're right. We're saying that this is how we feel, and we're sharing that with you.
Okay, so now I'm going to get a kind of a different side of that. Is one of my frustrations is that I will say something not meaning it. Now, maybe it's ignorant. It's a prejudice statement, et cetera, et cetera. I need to be educated. But what has happened is instead everybody gets mad and kicks me out of the group. And I'm like, I'm telling them a lot. Help me. Instead of just dismissing me, now I have to have the right attitude. If I don't have the right attitude, then you have every right to dismiss me. If I'm not going to listen.
They just kick you out, or they're not listening to you?
Well, they're not listening to me.
Yeah.
And but what I really rather, and this happened to us. I can give you the example, but I'm not going there. 2-hour, beautiful, strong, honest discussion with a black family member. And then we got to one issue. I made one statement, and it just about destroyed the whole conversation. And I actually had to bring it out and go, wait a minute. So I made a mistake here. Educate me, but let's not throw away the progress we made in 2 hours. And that's what I want to say to everybody. Both
I guess. And how would you feel if that happened to you all the time?
It'd be frustrating as hell.
Thank you. Welcome to
and
the black
thank
community.
Thank you for bringing that out. You know, if you hear this twice a day, every day, or once a week.
Or that happens to you once a time. That's my lifetime.
Yeah.
A lot of time I'm dismissed from the conversation.
Because they don't want to hear what you
Because they don't want to hear. So you just experienced what I experienced for a lifetime. Welcome.
Good point. And that's what we have to face. And it is not easy. I've struggled with it. I'm still struggling with it. Linda's right. I don't want to change. It works for me. But then I look at it and I pray to God. And he says, Dave, it's got to change. And I have to agree with my God.
Well, and let's end it on that.
Because the
part, and I'm not going to pray or anything, because I feel like this we want you to think. But I do want to say to you, when you make statements, when you do certain things that you, well, why are they doing da-da-da? I just want you to say to yourself, what would God say of that statement?
And my other thing is when you ask that question, don't ask it of your community. Ask it of the other community. Your community doesn't know.
Yeah.
There's a good
No, I'm asking you to ask yourself.
Well,
because the person in the mirror is where we all have to start with to make
right.
a change. So when you make statements that are generalizations, and I'm saying this to myself, ask your God, is that okay?
Right. Good point. Absolutely. Okay. Well, let's and we're not going to close this one on a prayer because this is not about Christianity, folks. Now, my Christian beliefs guide me personally, but I can't use those to guide society because not everybody's a Christian.
Right.
You know, some people are Catholics or Christians. You know, some people are Hindus or Buddhists and whatever, and they count. And God says we're supposed to love and treat everybody with love. That's what I got to deal with.
Yeah, so, you know, we are Christians. We do believe in God.
Right.
And we use that as I'm just asking every Christian in this whole thing or everybody of every religion is to
search
your heart and the basis of your religion and ask your God, whoever that is. Is this okay?
And I'll tell you, if you do it honestly, I cannot believe you're not going to say, this doesn't bind up.
And that's where we should end
and
it.
That's where I am today.
Yeah.
It doesn't bind up. Right, you know, and now I have to do the work, support the right people, including Black Lives Matter. I'm not mad at them.
Yeah.
Now, there's some statements that's come out of that group.
And
that
you
I'm
know
not
what? I just feel
okay
like,
with.
Yeah, that's true. But really, the bottom line is look at the man in the mirror.
Yeah, start there.
And talk to your God. So if you and God can deal with the man in the mirror with all of this, whatever your side is.
And when you've got your heart, when you feel like you've opened your heart and you're ready to learn, start with your spouse. Start with your kids. Start with an aunt and an uncle. You know, even if they're on your side, quote, your side, start sharing your concerns and your thoughts. Okay. Enough.
Yeah.
We can keep it. You and I
can
go forever.
Yeah. I just feel like that's just start with the man in the mirror. Even that is the most important to me, unless you got another final thought. But
no,
start with the man in the mirror.
First, you yourself, are you part of it? Are you guilty? Do you need to be educated? I answered yes to all three.
And I have answered yes. I'm not to all three, but I have answered yes to sometimes. And it's not. It's at least that's the start that you recognize that, yes, I have some work to do. And then begin the work. Small steps, big steps, whatever. Just take a step.
And if you, you know, practice in a safe community, if that makes you better, then start there. But practice. Get the word out. We can change this. The American people, American citizens, black and white, can make this happen. We have to put pressure on our leaders.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them don't care.
Well, that is being shown. I'll spit
well,
that.
Yeah.
But let's not even go there. Let's end the program. Only thing, like
okay.
You said, is let's start with the man in the mirror.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thanks, everybody. I think we're going to edit this just a hair, and I think we're going to put it out there. I like the way it went. And it was. We just want you to think. Think for yourself.
Amen.
Learn. Check all the sources you can on every side, because most of them have an agenda, and you need to weigh that in your decisions.
Okay.
All right. See you next time.
All right.